First Epistle and the fifth chapter. Verse 9. 1 John 5:9. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in him. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given unto us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that he may know that he hath eternal life, and that he may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. May God bless the reading of his own precious word. Now, it's such a joy to see in our midst these days some young people. Now, we haven't got many, but we have some young people with us here tonight. And this always gives me joy. I remember when I was a boy, I used to go every Sunday night to hear the gospel preached. And they used to have some preachers who gave a lot of hard, difficult talks that went right over my head. But of course, I will say this, that if in growing up years you listen and listen and listen week after week, week after week, something sinks in. You pick up a bit here and a bit there and you learn something. But these men used to shoot over my head. But there was one man used to come along. And he used to say, now the first 5 minutes you're going to talk to the children. And he talked simple language for 5 minutes. I remember once he said, I'm going to speak on a great big word. And he read from the first chapter of the second chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, where Peter says, save yourself from this untoward generation. And I was a little boy, but it stuck in my mind, untoward. He said, now what's that mean, all you boys and girls? Nobody knew. But he said, what does toward mean? What it means to go towards something. Well, what does untoward mean? Well, it means the very opposite. And I got that lesson, that there's a generation around us not going towards God, but going the other way. And I have made it a rule over the years, if there have been children, to do this, to talk to them for a little while. And tonight I would like to address most of my remarks to the younger people. I want to talk tonight on what I call four steps in the Christian life. I'm sure at some time since I've been at Park of the Palms, I have mentioned these four steps. Sometimes. So if I'm repeating something you've heard before, or let's see if it sank in last time, anyhow. Four steps in the Christian life. As I grew up later in life, my mother and father used to take us, and there were five in the family, five children, and my mother and father. And they used to take us every national holiday to some conference or the other. And there was one conference we went to. It was away in the country. We had to go on a train, and then we had to walk through country lanes, and the conference was held in a school. I remember so well sitting in there in the seats in the school with all the school pictures around on the wall, and that's where they had this conference. And they used to have some very learned old men come along with beards, and they taught all sorts of deep things from the scripture. Sometimes I would take the baby out and push the baby around in the chair, you know, push the baby around, and I'd miss some of the meetings. And then they'd tell me what I'd missed, and I'd say, well, I don't want to take the baby next time. I want to be here and hear it. But I remember once a young man got up to speak. And, of course, everybody nearly fell down dead when a young man got up to speak, because only old men used to speak in those days. And young people used to listen to them. But here's a young man, he might have been 20, 21, 22 years of age, but he seemed just a boy, you know. And he got up to speak, and he spoke quickly, to the point, and he gave us 4 points. That's what I want to talk about tonight. It's not my subject tonight, it's his. 4 points. And you know, I don't know how old I was. I may have been 15 at that time. But I have never forgotten the 4 points he gave us. I've forgotten, frankly, all that the old men spoke in those days. But this young man, he just got home 4 points. 1, 2, 3, 4. And I got him for life. Now, I've mentioned these before. I believe down in the lounge when we had some young people. So, if I'm repeating, that's good. But for those who've never heard, let's see if we can learn these 4 points tonight that he gave us. The first one is in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that he may know that he have eternal life. The first step in the Christian life is this, that he may know. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that he may know, that he may know that he have eternal life. Now, this is absolutely and all important. There's so many people, when you talk to them about the way of salvation, and you ask them if they're saved, they say, well, I hope so. Well, I think I am. But then they don't seem very sure. And Paul says, John says, that he may know that he have eternal life. I love this verse. There's assurance here. There's something definite here. There's something absolutely positive. That ye may know that ye have eternal life. You ask me if I'm saved. I say, yes, I'm saved. I don't guess that I'm saved. I don't hope that I'm saved. I don't think that I'm saved. But I know that I'm saved because God says so. I know that I'm saved. And John wants us to talk that language, that he may know that he have eternal life. Now, I was telling you a while ago that I was down at the CBMC conference at Boca Raton last year, and there was a young man down there, gave a little talk about the new birth, and he compared it with the natural birth. And he said this. There's some Christians, when you ask them, when were you saved? They say, well, I don't know when I was saved. Well, I don't know that that matters altogether, whether you know when you were saved, if you know that you are saved. That's the important thing, that he may know that he have eternal life. But this man said, listen, if I ask you, you say, I don't remember when I was saved. You don't remember when you were born again? No. And this man said, if I asked you, do you remember when you were born, what would you say? Do you remember when you were born? There's not one of us that remembers that we're born, that we were born. We don't remember when we were born, when we came into this world. But there was a definite moment when we came into this world. And he said this, there was a definite and a permanent record made. Our parents had to go and register the birth of a new baby. And there was a permanent record made. And the moment that you and I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, there was a permanent record made. Our names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We may not know when we were saved, but God knows. The record was made up there in heaven the moment we accepted the Lord Jesus as our Savior. Now, what I want to ask tonight is this. As I look around, it looks as if everybody here tonight is saved. And yet, let's ask ourselves the question. Do I know? Am I sure that I've got eternal life? Is there any doubt in your mind now? If I came to you personally tonight and sat down by your side and said, are you saved? Would you say, well, I hope so. Now, would that be the answer? I have talked to people. I have talked to people at Park of the Palms. And I've got that answer. But I think I am. Now, what do you mean you think you are? The Bible doesn't say these things are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that he may think that he have eternal life. Or you might hope you've got eternal life, but you might know that you've got eternal life. And I'll tell you something, you can't get far in the Christian life if you don't get this assurance, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. That's the first step. That's where we start from, eternal life. There must be a moment in our life, whether we remember the moment or no, when we turned from, as the Thessalonians did, they turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. A moment when we turn and we accept the Lord Jesus as our own personal Savior. Now, perhaps I'm fortunate. I can remember, and I don't know the exact date, although I got it within a week or two, because it was in March 1910, that's a long time ago, when I accepted the Lord Jesus as my Savior. But I could take you to the very place, the very spot, in the city of Bristol, England, where God saved me. Now let me ask you the question, is there one spot in all this wide world? And you could say, that's where I accepted Christ. Or have you gone on over the years saying, well, I belong to the church, I'm doing the best I can, and I hope one day I'll get to heaven. Do you know, I'm amazed as I look at some of the old hymns written by wonderful men. Wonderful men. But when you get to the last verse of nearly all the hymns, the last verse seems to say, well, now, after all, Lord, if we get through all right, take us to heaven. There doesn't seem to be the assurance. Now, why should we not be sure when God says it? Is there anything in all the world as sure as this book? Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. God's word is forever settled in heaven. And if we put our confidence and our faith in what God says in this word, then we're all right. These things have I written. That's what's in the book. These things have I written. To you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that he may know that he have eternal life. I ask you this question. Do you believe on the Son of God? Do you believe on the name of the Son of God? You say, what have I got to believe? I've got to believe, first of all, that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. There are thousands of people in the world today that tell you that Jesus, and they don't even say Jesus Christ, and they never say the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the Lord's title in the New Testament, but they say Jesus was an example. So he was a wonderful example. Some say Jesus was a perfect man. So he was the only perfect man. Some people say Jesus was a great prophet. But saying he was a prophet, saying he was an example, saying that he was a great man will not save you. Saying that Jesus died outside the city wall at Jerusalem, that's history, that won't save you. But looking upon the Lord Jesus as he died upon that cross, the eternal Son of God, dying there for you, taking your place, dying the just for the unjust, and receiving him as your own personal Savior, that's going to save you. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Jesus was his earthly name. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Christ means the anointed one, the one who's going to reign supreme, the Messiah, sent by God. And Lord means he's my supreme master. And when I take the Messiah, the Christ of God, the anointed one, the Jesus who died on Calvary's cross to die for me, and take him as my Lord, Lord Jesus Christ, when I get eternal life. Now I wonder if all of us tonight, from the oldest to the youngest, have this assurance that we have eternal life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know. I'm sure I remember saying these words down in the lounge to some young people last year. That ye may know. Now the next step. You see, when I accepted the Lord Jesus as my Savior, that's the moment I was born again. And I was born into God's family. Now, I might have been well up in years when I accepted him. But still I was born like a baby in God's family. When men, great men of education and learning, who do not know the Bible and do not know God, and they look upon the Bible as a mysterious book they can't understand, when they're saved, they come to God and they don't know anything. They're like babies starting to learn this book. And that's what we are when we're born again. We're born into God's family. I want to go to Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1 for a moment. 1 Peter chapter 1. And it says, Verse 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. That's just what we have been saying. These things have I written, the word of God, the written word of God which liveth and abideth forever, the incorruptible, unfading word of God. He says, we're born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God. This is seed which sown in our hearts brings forth fruit. Born again by the incorruptible word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower fadeth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Now, he's only telling us over again what John said in the other verse, that it's by the incorruptible written word of God that we get eternal life. And that's when we were born again by accepting the Lord Jesus as our Savior. So now we're babies in the family. Now we've got to decide what's the best thing for a baby. Now, I don't know much about this business, but the best thing for a baby is to get baby food. And I believe the best food for a baby is milk. Used to be, anyhow, when I was a baby. And when I was growing up and we had families, milk was the business. My father used to say, I started life that way, and if I'd known what I know now, I'd have stayed there all through life. He said, that's the best food of all. Milk. Look at this second verse. As newborn babes, chapter 2 of 1 Peter, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. The first step was that ye may know. Here's the second step, that ye may grow thereby. Desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Let me tell you something, young believer in the Lord Jesus, you'll never become a strong Christian if you don't read this book. This is the sincere milk of the word. We have to desire it. We have to read it, and read it every day. Now, I have found in my experience as a Christian, if I neglect this book, I don't know, everything goes wrong. I get kind of miserable, downhearted, out of touch with everything and everybody. And all seems to go wrong if I can't find time to read this book every day, every day. And that's just what would happen to the baby. If you didn't feed the baby every day, baby get a poor, miserable baby, wouldn't it? They tell me a baby has to be fed about every 4 hours, regularly, with milk. Desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. I remember years ago there used to be a man in England called George Goodman. A wonderful preacher of the Word of God, George Goodman. He had a brother called Montague Goodman. These two brothers were great men of faith. And I remember hearing him once in the city of Leeds in Yorkshire, England, at a conference. And George Goodman, who was a lawyer, a very proper Englishman with a big mustache, he said, you know, we have in our family a newcomer, a baby, a grandchild. And he said, I look at this baby day by day, and I ask myself, what's that baby living for? What's that baby's desire? And I come to the conclusion, the great desire of the baby is to grow. He said he wants to eat all the time and stretch and grow and get bigger and bigger, and his great desire is to grow. Oh, that we Christians were like that. I've heard my father tell the story of how he was saved. And when he, at 18 years of age, and he said the moment he was saved, he had an insatiable desire to read the book. And he said, he's told me this many times. He said, I used to say to a man, how long have you been saved? 3 years. He said, I'll know more about the book when I've been saved 3 years than you know. And he said, night and day, his mother used to come to call him in the morning to go to work at 6 o'clock. She'd come and call him at 5 o'clock, and she'd find him still kneeling by his bedside, falling asleep with his Bible open, reading the Bible all the time, reading the Bible all the time. Why? Because he wanted to grow. And the only way to grow in the things of God is to read this book. I'm sure of it. After many years, this is the only way. It's a wonderful thing to read the wonderful books that have been written about the Bible. And they're helpful. But that's not the thing that really counts. The thing that counts is this book, reading this book every day. Am I talking to some Christian tonight? And you're not doing this. You just read your Bible on Sundays. Or you read your Bible when you're in the various services here in the chapel. I don't think we've got many like that at Park of the Palms anyhow. We're all here because we love this book. But I tell you, you won't grow. And you'll never be a strong Christian. And you'll never be a healthy Christian. And you'll never do much for God if you don't read this book. There's some strange reaction takes place when we read the Bible. In Ephesians, we get this term, the washing of the water of the Word. The washing of the water of the Word. And somehow as you read this book, there is a cleansing that goes on. There's a kind of a change that goes on in our Christian lives as we read this book every day. But we have to read it every day. That is the secret of the Christian life. And we'll grow strong Christians and do things for God if we read this book every day. Now I know we live busy lives, and sometimes it's hard. You get to the end of the day and say, oh dear, I've only read one chapter today. Well, you better sit down and read some more chapters before you go to bed, anyhow. Because this is what's going to come. Every one of us should read this book through once a year, anyhow. But by rushing through it, you don't learn it. It's when you read it and meditate on it and dwell on it and study and take the verses one by one. And somehow, as you read the Word of God, it reads you. And somehow, as you read the Word of God, the verses come up and speak to you. But you've got to read it. I want to be very simple tonight. I'm trying to speak to young people, if you'll all be listening. If you want to grow to be strong Christians, read your Bible every day. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. So the first step then was that he may know. The next step, that he may grow. What's the next step? It's in the same chapter, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him that's called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I remember that young man when I was about 15, coming to that conference. I never saw him before, never saw him since. Who he was, his name, I don't know. But I remember the words he spoke, that he may know, that he may grow, that he may show. And it stuck in my memory and in my heart, that he may show. Here's the third step. If I'm really born again and I know I have eternal life, and if day by day I'm growing by reading the Word of God, then it's my business to show other people that he should show forth the praises of him that's called you. The Lord Jesus has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, and our business is to show people about him, that he should show forth the praises of him that's called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Our business is to tell men and women about the Lord Jesus. Sometimes that's difficult. Sometimes we miss opportunities. Sometimes God gives us wonderful opportunities. But that's our business, and I don't think a day should go by but what we're engaged in this business. Showing forth his praises. Showing forth his praises. This could be talking about him. But it could be more than that. It could mean that your life and mine must be such that by our very acts, day by day, we show forth the praises of Him that's called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. I was reading this afternoon the picture of the Christian as a servant. And in the book I was reading, it says that the Lord Jesus was a bond servant. And He Himself said, I came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. And He, the eternal Son of God, stooped down and washed disciples' feet. And then it says that we are His servants. Yes, but the word that's used is bond servant. So we are bondservants to the Lord Jesus, who made Himself a bondservant. Our place is pretty low. A bondservant has no redress whatever. The Lord says, when the servant comes in from the field and he's been working all day, he doesn't sit down at the table, but no. He prepares the meal, and then he's got to serve at the meal. And after he's done all that, then he gets a chance to eat something. And then the Lord says he's only an unprofitable servant after all. No rights, no claims. A bond servant gets no pay, no salary. He's a slave, and he just got to do his master's will. That's our position in this world today. We were trying to say something about it this morning, and the fact that when we talked about baptism this morning, that we're dead with Christ. And all that the old nature would claim or want, that's finished with. Now we serve Him. We are risen with Him and we serve Him. And we submit our will to His will. And we do His will. And by so doing, people will take knowledge of us that we have been with Jesus and learned of Him. And we'll be showing forth His praises. Do you know, we should be serving one another. Serving one another. I don't find many people rushing to do the lowly jobs. Most people want the jobs where they can be seen doing something. There's an awful lot of lowly jobs to be done amongst the people of God. This is our business, to show forth His praises in day after day, patient toil and work for Him. In the home we used to sing when I was a boy, at home, at school, at play. The young ones here tonight can show this. I remember when I was called up to go into the army in World War I, and I found myself, after lots of changes, I found myself sleeping in a large barrack room on the east coast of England, and there were 40 men in this barrack room. And it was cold over there in the winter time, and we had two of these, what do you call them, pot-belly stoves, I suppose, in this great big hut, two of them. And there was a coal ration. And we used to burn out all the coal first night. We only got it every two days. Now, I was working down in the drawing office in this big maintenance center there. And we had more coal than we could use down there in two little tiny fireplaces we had. But that was a mile away. And there was a sack full of coal if somebody would get it. You know, some of us would rather freeze to death than get that coal. And I found everybody grumbled about getting the coal. And I thought, here's my chance. Because every night I used to read my Bible. And every night I used to kneel down and pray by the bedside in front of these 40 men there. I thought, here's the chance to show what it is to be a Christian. So when they said, somebody's got to get some coal, I said, I'll go. And nobody cared as long as I went. And I went down and pulled this sack of coal up. Two nights after, it's cold again. Somebody said, we need some coal. I said, I'll go. And a fellow looked at me and he said, Bob, I'll go with you. I thought, oh, it's getting over somehow. I'll go with you. And so we went down together. A couple of nights after, we wanted some more coal. And I said, I'll go. Somebody said, you're not going anymore. We're going. Now, I was trying to show them, and I think this is how you've got to do it. We have to serve one another. We shall show forth His praises. He's called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. We're a peculiar people. that we should show forth the praises of him that's called us. Oh, may God help us to put this into practice in a practical way, day by day. What chances we have at Park of God? What chances some of you young people have at school to show forth his praises, the one who's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, that he may know, that he may grow, that he should show. And finally, John chapter 15, verse 16 says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that he should go, that he should go and bring forth fruit. Now, I'm of the opinion that John's Gospel, chapter 15, where we're talking about the true vine, I believe that that bearing fruit in the first part of the chapter is fruit, a fruitful life for him. By our acts and our ways, some of the things I've been talking about, showing forth his praises. But I also think that when you get to the 16th verse, when he says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that he should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain, I believe there he's talking about the fruit of winning souls to Christ. You should go and bring forth fruit. And our business is not only to know and to grow and to show, but our business is to go and tell men and women about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it isn't everybody's called to go to South America or Africa or the islands of the sea, but there may be some in this meeting tonight that God would call. There's some young people here tonight. And if we'll dedicate our lives to him, maybe he'll use us in the far away distant corners of the world. But here's the call, that ye should go. I have chosen you and ordained you. The Lord chose us. In his eternal foreknowledge, he knew all about us. And back in the past eternity, he chose us. God chose us in Christ Jesus. And the Lord says, I've chosen you, disciples, that you should go and bring forth fruit. Oh, may we hear his voice this evening speaking to us, that we might go out and serve him and bring forth fruit. There's going to be opportunities here at Park of the Palms, I believe. I believe this is going to become, we may have to change the name from Bible Center and call it Gospel Center, I don't know. But I believe it's going to be a Gospel Center. I believe that this place is going to be the birthplace of many precious souls. I have faith to believe that. I believe God is going to bring people in here. It's our business to go out and bring them in. It's our business to preach the gospel and to lead men and women to Christ. And I believe there's going to be tremendous opportunities for every one of us here. For some of us, it's the 11th hour. But the Lord went out into the vineyard in the 11th hour, you know, and he said, some go work today in my vineyard. Only 1 hour of the 12 left. So there's not much time for some of us left. But I believe for some of us, perhaps we may not have done a lot of soul winning in the past. I believe God's going to give us that opportunity at Park of the Palms of leading men and women and boys and girls to Christ. I believe we're going to have a Sunday school very soon. Let's keep on praying for it. God is already sending children here. And we want to see a Sunday school established here. We want to see God's work go forward here. We want to see men and women saved here. And perhaps God brought us here to Park of the Palms for this very purpose. He's saying, you didn't choose this. I chose it. I chose you and ordained you that he should go and bring forth fruit. We can't go at our age to the far ends of the earth, but we can do a lot here in Keystone Heights. We can do a lot here in the place where God has put us. And we can seek day by day. Some are still in business. And in the business world, I have proved all through life, there's a wonderful, wonderful opportunity in business of witnessing for the Lord Jesus. That's the place to serve him. May God write this lesson on our hearts. Remember these four steps, that he may know, that he may grow, that he may show, that he may go and bring forth fruit. I'll tell you something. You can't go before you show. And you can't show before you grow. You can't grow before you know. There are steps. You've got to know you're saved. And once you know you're saved, then you've got to read the Word of God day by day to become established and to grow stronger and stronger. And then day by day you have to witness for him and show And then maybe God will call us and send us to do something for Him that we may go and bring forth fruit for His name. Now, I wonder if we could sing number 365. This is an easy number to remember because there are 365 days in the year and one for leap year. And the hymn is, Take Time to Be Holy. 365 days in the year and 366 days in leap year. Take time to be holy. Speak oft with thy Lord. Abide in Him always and feed on His word. Make friends of God's children. Help those that are weak, forgetting in nothing His blessing to seek. 365. Father, we thank Thee for Thy precious word. How simple it is, Lord, when we break it down. We thank Thee, Lord, that Thou hast not bid us do some difficult thing. Thou hast said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. All that had to be done is done. When the Lord Jesus died upon the cross, there He met the claims of Thine eternal throne. There He paid the price of our sin. There He bore our sins in His own body upon the tree. And there His precious blood was shed, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sins. All we have to do is believe this, accept it. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that he may know that he have eternal life. O Lord, grant that none might leave our meeting tonight saying, I think I'm saved, I hope I'm saved. But young and old, everyone tonight might go away from this meeting saying, I know that I have eternal life. Help us, Lord, we pray thee, that we might grow day by day. Give us that appetite to read thy word. And, Lord, the appetite from thy word only comes from the reading. The more we read, the more we want to read. And every time we read it, it's fresh. Every time we see something new, it's a living book, not like any other books. Help us then, Lord, young and old, to read the Bible every day, that we may grow thereby. Then help us to show to a perishing world around that we belong to the Lord Jesus. And maybe, Lord, thou give us here an opportunity, here in Park of the Palms, an opportunity to go and do something for thee. We thank thee, Lord, for our choir that went last Sunday night out for thee. We pray thou there be some eternal fruit from this visit, this excursion that was made. We thank thee for those from our midst to go out to the prison with the Gideons. We thank thee for those that go day by day giving out Gideon Bibles and Testaments. Use this, we pray thee. We thank thee for our brother Richardson and all those engaged in the broadcast, Lord. We pray, Lord, that the good news broadcast might be used mightily of thyself in this district. We pray for the choir coming here tomorrow, and that this broadcast they're making might bring glory to thy name. Help us, Lord, in all the details, thou wilt work them out for us, that we might go and serve thee and win men and women to the Lord Jesus. We commit this Bible Center to thee, Park of the Palms, and ask thee, Lord, that if the Lord Jesus tarry, there may be a great center, a great future here for thee and thy glory. May souls be saved in our midst. Bring the right people here. Bring the young people here, the children that we might have a Sunday school. All this we commit to thee. We thank thee for another wonderful day, the Lord's day. And we commit us to thee as we separate. We pray again for our beloved brother Pilon, who's sick. And any others, Lord, our brother McMickle, we commit to thee and seek thy blessing. O Lord, build these up and strengthen them and make them better, we pray thee. We commit us to thee and ask for a good night's rest. And may this coming week, if the Lord Jesus does not return, may it bring glory to thy name in the lives of each one of us. We ask it in the precious name of our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen.